The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Guardian cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part one of a three-part series. We will be reviewing the multi-class Guardian cards in videos of their own. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we break cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder thing, respectively. Cards that are good in one particular investigator or cards that you build around get a Bless token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. I'd also like to extend a big thank you to Cole Monroe Chitty for the art that graces this channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro as well as the new overlays for these reviews. Thank you very much, everyone. I couldn't do it without you. We are back with our review of the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. We recently wrapped up our look at the revised core set for the benefit of new players, and it's very exciting to have a chance to dive into some new cards from the latest expansion. Big thanks to Lost in Time and Space for the new overlays. They look fantastic. How are you guys doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. It is a wonderful Saturday afternoon here.
It snowed here today. That's pretty nice.
It snowed here a couple days ago, actually.
Just in time for the campaign.
That's right. That is very fitting, considering we are off to Antarctica with the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion, and as well as the campaign. Just a quick note before we get started, we are reviewing these cards within the context of the entire card pool, which has grown quite large at this point in the game's history. So if we don't happen to mention a combination, forgive us for that. There are quite a few cards to work through, so there is a chance that we will miss something. Also, if we don't happen to mention a particular investigator's relationship with a card, also forgive us for that. There's nearly 50 investigators at this point, and so there are a lot of interactions. And if we covered them all, these videos would probably take us upwards of an hour to an hour and a half to record. So we'll try to talk about the main combinations and go from there. We're going to kick things off with the Guardian cards. This is Geared Up. It is an asset that has no cost because it is permanent. It has the talent trait, limit one per deck, purchase at deck creation. Forced, when your first turn of the game begins, play any number of item assets from your hand, reducing the cost of each by one. During this turn, you have three fewer actions to take. Thoughts about Geared Up?
There's a lot of hoops you got to jump through with this card, I feel like. It certainly is a build-around card, to say the least. You need a lot of items in your deck to be able to make sure that you have three items in your hand, or at least two, ideally. You know, I think there are situations where you're probably okay losing an action if that action essentially is gaining two resources. So I think, like, playing two items for cheaper is probably okay with this card, but ideally you want to be playing, like, a three-cost asset, another three-cost asset, and then a two-cost asset, and that turns into three netted resources, which is awesome. But Guardians have, like, a lot of four-cost assets with the 45 automatic. They have three-cost assets with things like Enchanted Blade and Machete. So it's, like, kind of awkward to get it to fit, and it's only for item assets. It doesn't count for things like allies or non-item assets, for instance. So it's kind of awkward, and sometimes you want to play Emergency Cash turn one, too. So, you know, it really limits what you can do on turn one.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky, because one thing you can think about is the assets that it doesn't play, namely the one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Safeguard. That's one that you, if you see it in your opening hand, you want to get down as soon as possible so you can get the efficiency of extra move actions running as soon as possible. but nope, can't play that with geared up. I think it's one of those where it's like, if your deck concept is already hitting like 14 assets or so, and like 12 of them are items, you could probably make this work, because those extra actions in the form of, you know, virtually resources, like those are great at the beginning of the game. So that way you can just, you know, drop a weapon, and like maybe if you're Roland, you can drop a magnifying glass for free. Things like that. You just get some things down, get maybe a police badge, you know, out there pretty quickly. And I guess what I'm getting at is that if your deck is already packing lots of items for whatever reason, then I think this works pretty well. But for the most part, you're right, Nate. This is a lot of hoops. So it's not a choice you make lightly.
Yeah, I also think this card is really dependent on your off class as well. Like, I feel like a Tommy or Yorick could use this card to much better effect, because survivors just have so many cheap items in their card pool.
So you does Joe Diamond or Roland with cheap secret assets.
That's true. Yeah, and there is a caveat too, that it says any number of item assets. So if you have like a bunch of fast items, you could dump all those too, which is cool. But
but
I think of like somebody like Leo, who has like, you know, his main focus is like playing a bunch of ally assets. Like, he's not going to want a card like this. So
that's true. It's like I was saying, if you build your deck, or like you're playing like Carolyn, for example, she could use a lot of items. So if you build a deck and you end up with like 12 or so items, then consider this. If you build your deck, like, I wouldn't pack in lots of extra items just to play this. Think of it as the cherry on top. I mean, it's a build around, but also not at the same time, you know?
Yeah. And the inflexibility of actions, I think, hurts you more in lower player counts.
Oh, and lower, absolutely. Yeah, this is definitely a 3-4 player card where, you know, you don't necessarily have to hit the ground running every turn, you know, at the beginning of every game.
I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to spoil this card during the preview phase for this expansion, and I was pretty fascinated by this one, so I have spent a fair amount of time trying to get it to work, and the whole experience has been pretty thought-provoking. I've been playing it in a Yorick deck because I figured, hey, he's got tons of items that he'd like to play, and this could make them cheaper. If you're lucky, you'll save yourself a couple resources, maybe three. I have had that really amazing turn where I've dumped, you know, 3, 4, 5 items on the table and saved myself a bunch of resources. But that has been very rare. I say the experience has been thought-provoking because as I was trying to build a deck with this card, I found a lot of things that didn't really have much to do with the card itself, but really changed sort of the dynamic of the deck. I guess the most obvious thing here is that if you're trying to save the resources, you're basically locking down your first turn of the game for an entire campaign, which is potentially problematic, especially if you don't want to be playing a bunch of items right off the bat and you have other priorities. This takes away your choice, so you're basically sacrificing all of your other options on your first turn to save yourself a couple of resources. And I'm not entirely convinced that that's worthwhile. It is very rough if you don't happen to draw enough items in your opening hand. That feels pretty bad. I've had that happen a couple times to me where I've mulliganed hard and just haven't ended up with anything. I've played maybe one item, like a flashlight, and been like, well, that's that, and proceed with my next turn. I always sort of feel, I know I'm not really missing my first turn, but often I have a tough time wrapping my head around the fact that you basically dump a bunch of items on the table and then it's the mythos phase. And it sort of just feels like I haven't done anything that first turn, and then I'm drawing an encounter card. So there's that. The one thing I did really find interesting about this card is the item-based deck is a lot trickier to build than it seems. You can really go ham with this and dump a ton of items into your deck, but that sort of leads to some unexpected problems. One, if you do have that godlike turn where you dump 4 or 5 items on the table, your hand is empty. And if you don't have any draw, you're kind of in a bad position, even though you have a bunch of items, because the items themselves don't really do a lot. The other issue that you run into is that since most of the items in the game deal with hand slots, and you've only got two hand slots, you're often either running into a lot of items that are competing for those hand slots, so you're not as able to play as many of those items as you would like, or you start putting in a bunch of items that go in other slots or slotless items, and I'm not entirely sure a lot of those are good enough to warrant being played on the first turn. The other thing that I ran into was that the other two issues that I ran into when you build this item-based deck is that, A, if you do build your deck full of items and then this card triggers on your first turn, it doesn't actually help you for the rest of the game. So your deck is filled with all of these items that you have to take actions to play. And so you end up having to take a bunch of extra actions to play these items that you may not necessarily, that may not be in your best interest. You may be better off investigating or moving and stuff like that. So you end up with a handful of items that you may not necessarily play. And finally, the one thing I noticed about items is they don't have great icons. So you often end up, even if your hand, you end up with a handful of items that don't have very good icons, that you can't really commit to skill tests very effectively. So the more items you stuff into your deck, the more you sort of twist that deck away from events and skills, which actually help you pass skill tests. And you end up with having to deal with these items that don't really help you in that regard. So it was, my experience is just with Yorick, so I think there's probably a deck out there that can really leverage this, but in my experience, I don't know, I'm still undecided. I think it's obviously this card is a blessed token, because you obviously have to build around it to a great extent to get the most leverage out of it, but I'm not entirely sure whether it's a good build around or not. I feel like there's a deck out there that can really use it and get a lot of value out of it, but if my experience was any indication, it just sort of felt like it was fine. I saved myself a couple resources on the first turn, and was it worth it? I don't know. I think it may also have something to do with my play style, because I tend to run really low to the ground and just I investigate, I move, I fight if necessary. So playing a bunch of extra assets just because I happen to have them in my hand is not something I'm predisposed to do. So I would end up with a ton of assets in my hand and be like, well, I don't really want to play any of these, but they're really not good. I'd rather have skills to commit to skill tests. So I should note that I did quite like, there is a card in the Survivor card pool, Schaffner's Catalog, which is actually quite nice with this card. If you can get one or two of those down on the table with this, you can use Schaffner's Catalog to pay for your assets as well. So Schaffner's gives you resources to pay items, so you can, if you can get a couple of those down and they're slotless, you can end up with a pile of extra resources to play items, which is nice.
I think it's sort of like necessary that you have some way of like using those items. Like you were saying, like that's one of the bigger problems with a deck like this, is that you have no way of like really committing cards to skill tests reasonably. But if you have a card like cornered in your deck, if you're playing like Tommy or Yorick, then now all of a sudden you have an outlet for those items to be able to pitch them. And in Yorick, it's sweet because you pitch them and then you can potentially grab them back up and do it all over again. So like you were saying, there are builds that I think Geared Up works in, but it's very specific to, I think, really like Yorick and Tommy.
Yeah, I think I think what you guys are starting to say near the end here kind of wraps around to a point I made earlier. Geared Up, first of all, Geared Up is one of, I think it's actually one of the hardest cards I've looked at in terms of like, how do I review this? Like, because just, it's so dependent on like what you've already built and what your card pool looks like. Now I want to give it a bless token, but this is the weirdest bless token. I think it's like a bless token with like asterisks next to it, because it's like, I would suggest don't set out to build a Geared Up deck. But if you happen to have a deck that works, already works, and has like 12 to 14 items, then consider putting in geared up.
Like, you can't, yeah. The part of the issue is that, like, you can't just include it in your deck halfway through a campaign or something. Like, oh, you either commit that. To yeah. it or you don't. Oh, so
man. And I totally wish there was a way to get rid of this. Because you might have a point where you get, like, halfway through a campaign, you're like, I've got my important items. Now I'm going to start getting rid of some of these lower level items. I wish you could, like, dump this card somehow. Man, this is good for standalones, though. Yeah, standalones. I build a standalone deck. It happens to have 12 items. I'll slot in geared up. There you go.
Yeah, the other thing I should mention is that I don't think we've received an official word on it, but I'm fairly certain that this does not work with Backpack.
Oh, right.
Due to the nature of the forced effect. Their interrupts aren't really a thing in Arkham Horror, so... I believe the way this works is that when the forced effect triggers on your first turn, you play all the items you want from your hand. Once that is complete, then you would trigger the backpack, so you wouldn't have a chance to play any of the items off the backpack.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Because, I've seen some people include backpack in their decks, and the York deck that I was playing happened to include backpack, so while it was nice to get a discount on the backpack, I was playing it as though I could not play the items off the backpack. So
yeah, that's a weird one, actually. Yeah, because the only similar effect we've had before this is Ever Vigilant, and that one specifies that you play the items one at a time.
Yeah,
which implies that you trigger all the comes into play effects one at a time. This is different, but is it a design intention or is it just an oversight? I think we need an FAQ on this.
Yeah.
Maxine, yeah, I think, hurry up.
I assume that at some point down the road we will have a ruling on how this interacts with Backpack. I've been playing it that it doesn't, but who knows? It could go the other way as well. So yeah. All in all, this was a... Man... There's a lot to unpack with this card.
You started off with like one of the toughest cards to examine, I think.
No kidding. And I've played quite a bit with it, and sometimes it works in the deck I've been playing. Sometimes it doesn't. My deck probably doesn't have enough items in it. I think Nate's suggestion of playing Cornered is, if you have that opportunity, is a really good one, because you can... Those items, which may not have great icons, suddenly are +2 to any skill, which is quite good. I'm going to give this one a bless token, but yeah, like you said, Matastrophic, there's a bunch of asterisks after this one, because it's, as far as cards to build around go, this one is, I think, one of the trickier ones to work with.
There's one other comment I will make, is that the investigator that's centered around items can't play this card, which is kind of funny.
I know. I totally wish this was a survivor card.
It would be so good for Bob Jenkins, and he can't play it. It's so upsetting.
I wish this was survivor.
Well, theoretically, Bob could play this if he...
Oh, no. Let's not go there. No. This is like... time travel in Arkham. Like, we're just going to be sitting here for 2 hours with every card if we talk about that type of stuff.
That's right. Yeah. There is a way for Bob to play this card, but that's for another video, because it just creates all sorts of issues that we won't deal with here. So, bless tokens all around.
Mm-hmm.
The next card that we're going to talk about is Toe to Toe. It is a free event with combat and agility skill icons, the spirit and tactic traits. Fight, this attack deals +1 damage and is automatically successful. As an additional cost to perform this attack, the chosen enemy makes an attack against you. Thoughts on Toe to Toe?
This is an obvious Daniela card, just from... first glance, yeah. But there are some other investigators that I think make pretty good use of this card. The spirit trait allows Calvin to use it, and Calvin likes taking damage, and dishing out free damage early game to be able to pump up your stats is pretty good. And it costs nothing, so You can also run it with like Dark Horse or something as well if you wanted to do that. So I quite like this card.
Yeah, I think it's not bad. I think the main thing that it does is that automatic success is very nice. I think a lot of us have been in situations where, you know, everything is just going right and all I got to do is make this shot with my 45 automatic and everything's fine and oh, tentacle and I just hit my friend. And then everyone's panicking all over the place. So like, I think the fact that toe-to-toe is, it's automatically successful and it deals 2 damage, that alone, like, you know, it makes it stand out.
It also hits elite enemies.
Yes, it also hits elite enemies. So like finishing off the Ghoul Priest, the last token pull is like the most tense. So being able to just cap it off without any chance of failure, very nice.
Yeah, I've been playing this card a lot in my Daniela deck, and it is amazing when you play it in combination with Daniela and Guard Dog, because Daniela's special ability triggers, you dump the damage on Guard Dog, and suddenly you're dealing, between this card, her, and the Guard Dog, you're dealing 4 damage, which is yep. huge. You're taking down some awfully big enemies with essentially cards that you were probably going to play anyway. And mm-hmm. so it's been very, very good in that particular deck. It's worth noting that it is a fight event, so Nathaniel can bump the damage up on this a little bit more. The spirit trait synergizes with Boxing Gloves, which is a card that Nathaniel probably wants to play anyway. We've already just discussed how this works in Calvin. It is a tactic for Stick to the Plan if you want it. And of course, automatic successes are amazing. Even more so if you are playing on harder expert difficulty, where dipping your hand in the chaos bag is fraught with peril due to the -6s and -8s that are in there. I guess the only sort of downside to this card is the fact that the chosen enemy will attack you unless guardians don't have a ton of sanity. So depending on the enemy, that can be a bad thing. And it's also important to note that you cannot cancel that attack. You've got to take it on the chin, because if you cancel this attack, say with a card like Dodge, the card fizzles because you haven't actually paid the cost of this card. But yeah, my experience with this card so far has been very, very good. And the question for me is whether it's very good in Daniela. Will it make the cut in other investigators? Probably.
I think so. Because I think auto success is worth it. Think of it like this. Would you take 2 damage to automatically pull 0, you know, on an important fight test? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's been numerous times when I've been playing this game where I take attacks of opportunity to, like, draw a card or play an asset, and this is essentially doing that, but better. Like you were saying, Man from Lang and Danielle, this sort of like has like victory one on the bottom of it in secret text if you squint real hard, because you could kill Yethian Observers in one action. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, the action economy you can generate with this thing in Danielle is crazy. I was playing Danielle against the Curtain Call, and the poor emissary would hit the table and get toe-to-toed.
Oh, that's right. It's got 4 hit points.
Basically, the emissary was, you know, I've had trouble with him in playing that scenario, and he was not an issue if you have toe-to-toe in your hand. It's like the emissary attacks Daniela, who deals it a damage. She dumps one of the damage on the Guard Dog. The Guard Dog attacks the emissary, and then this thing finishes it off. So, yeah, it's... Yeah. Very powerful. How would you rate this one?
It's pretty investigator dependent, but you know, overall, I'm pretty inclined to give this card a +1. You know, there's a decent amount of investigators that can take it that really like this card, and you know, if you're playing Edge of the Earth, you're gonna try out Daniela, and then you're gonna play this card, and it's gonna feel great.
I'd actually give it a +1, but for like in general, to be honest, because it's level 0, it costs 0, and like the point I made earlier, I'd pay a damage and a horror to basically auto draw 0 on, you know, my fight test. I think it's totally worth it. +1.
I'm going to give it a plus one as well. My experience with this card so far has been very, very good, and I think that it will find a home in other investigators. There's some obvious synergy there with Calvin and Nathaniel, and I'm sure that there are many other guardians as well who would happily trade a little bit of health and possibly sanity to make sure that that final attack against a boss lands. And the fact that this doesn't have sort of a non-elite or elite tag on it really makes this good in a lot of situations.
Also interesting to note that it like kind of indirectly buffs Guard Dog too, because if you're playing this card, you're more likely to include Guard Dog in your deck, so it's also nice.
The next card in the box is Get Behind Me. It is a free event that has a willpower and combat skill icon, spirit, and tactic traits. It is fast. Play during any free triggered ability window. Until the end of the phase, whenever an enemy would attack another investigator at your location, it attacks you instead, then engages you. Cancel one horror dealt by each attack made this way. Obviously, this card has Daniela on it, and it synergizes very, very well with Daniela's ability. It is a multiplayer card only, though, so it's probably not a card that I am going to be playing all that often. But I think, given the fact that it works so well with Daniela's ability, and it is sort of a taunt, which I think a lot of Guardians want in multiplayer, to be able to taunt enemies off other investigators, I think this one is probably going to make the cut.
Yeah, it's interesting because it allows you to make lines of play you couldn't otherwise make. Like, you could let another investigator go first and like let them take an attack of opportunity and then say, get behind me, grab the enemy from them and let them take their turn, and then you can kill it afterward. It's also nice that it also cancels a horror, because, you know, most Guardians have low sanity, so free horror mitigation is nice too.
Yeah.
There have been other iterations of cards like this, and they've been generally pretty decent. Can't remember the names of them off the top of my head, but there's one that, like, you take a treachery card and you get plus two to that skill.
Oh, yeah.
That one's pretty good. You know, so cards like this in general, while they're pretty niche, you can set up pretty powerful lines of play with them.
Yeah, I think the most direct comparison that I was looking into is Heroic Rescue. So Heroic Rescue actually does like a very, very similar effect, to the point where I'd say Get Behind Me is actually like the power crept version of Heroic Rescue. So Heroic Rescue costs one, negates a single attack from a non-elite enemy. You as the guardian get to engage it, take the attack instead of your friend, and you deal it a damage. So it's like Get Behind Me feels like the power crept version of it, because, you know, you get to possibly take multiple attacks off of your friends. So like I want to look at it in that regard. Like, instead of, you could set up the wonder combination of like you're taking four attacks, you know, because you're pulling all 25 enemies off your friends, which never happens in Arkham Horror. Or you could look at it from the like, okay, I pull one, you know, one enemy off my friend to let them take their turn. And I think Get Behind Me is okay for that.
I think it's important to note here that Daniela's ability is not limited. So she can trigger it as many times in a turn as she wants. And it's interesting that you raise Heroic Rescue, Matastrophic, because Daniela's ability basically lets you deal the damage as well, if you would choose to go that way, either automatic evade or deal the damage. Now, Daniela's ability doesn't trigger on attacks of opportunity that she prompts, but there's no restriction on attacks of opportunity that other investigators trigger. So this sort of gets around that for her. It's also worth noting it does have the spirit trait, so possibly Calvin would like this, and certainly Calvin wouldn't mind taking an attack to start boosting his stat line. I guess the only sort of bad thing I have to say about this card is A, it's multiplayer only, so I don't play multiplayer all that often, so this card doesn't really, probably isn't going to see much play in my decks. And the other thing is that this does have the potential to kill you if you're careless. How would we rate this one?
This one feels a little more niche. I feel like you could kind of take it or leave it, so I'm going to give it a zero.
Yeah, I also want to give it a zero at first glance, but I think... Yeah, I'll give it a zero at first glance. It does what it does. Whether or not your team or your scenario that you're in requires you to actually do this effect remains to be seen. But yeah, zero, it seems fine.
I think I'm inclined to agree with a zero. I do like the fact that you can play this and it provides a taunt, so you can easily grab other enemies. It cancels the horror, which is the big weakness among a lot of guardians. They don't have the sanity to be really attacking in this. Most enemies in the game only deal one horror if they deal horror, so this negates that. It works against any enemy. It's not limited to non-elites, so if you do happen to end up in a situation where an elite enemy is attacking somebody, you can play this. And then it works especially well in Daniela, since she can trigger her ability, and the more attacks she takes, she can just keep triggering her ability. And again, you play this in combination with something like Guard Dog, and you're going to make a pretty good, if that enemy attacks her, you're going to make a pretty good inroads on its health even before Daniela takes her turn. So, but I mean, the spirit trait does give Calvin another option. So I think a zero is a good spot for this one. The final card we're going to look at in this video is Gang Up. It is the first upgrade available in the box. It's a 3-cost event that costs 1 experience point, willpower and combat skill icons, spirit and synergy traits. Fight for each different class among cards you control. You get +1 combat and deal +1 damage for this attack. Thoughts on Gang Up?
I mean, it sounds good on paper. If you have some of those triple class assets, then you're dealing +3 damage. That's pretty nuts. I don't know. Apart from that, like, if you're not playing one of those cards, then this sort of loses some stock. Like, there are times where maybe you don't have your dual class assets cards in play, and this is basically doing nothing. So it's kind of hit or miss in that regard. But, you know, if you're playing a synergy deck, this is probably one of the reasons why you're playing that deck.
What remains to be seen is whether synergy is actually, like, worth spending tons of XP on. Because remember, all the synergy cards cost XP. So you can't do it. You can't take them in the first scenario, and you've got to actually spend XP on them as opposed to other things. So the thing about Gang Up is, and what I do like about it, is that there are very few ways to deal 4 damage in a single action. I mean, we were talking earlier about how to set one up using a 3-card Daniela combo, but an event that deals 4 damage, there are very few of those. Off the top of my head, the only one I can think of is 2 of them. I can only think of 2 of them. There's Blood Eclipse level 3 and Stick to the Plan. I've got a plan. Yeah. So the fact that you could one-shot a 4-health enemy is nice. That being said, if your deck is not going to reliably be able to trigger 3 levels of synergy and be able to deal 4 damage, I wouldn't bother with this. And that's kind of one thing I have to say about synergy is, once again, as what often happens in Arkham, they seem to have balanced these cards for the ideal and not for the typical. So this card seems to be costed and balanced for assuming that someone's going to go all in on synergy. So what that means is, I think if your deck is not going all in on synergy, just don't bother.
Yeah, because it's also 3 resources, and we talked about Backstab in our Revised Corset review, and that being a little expensive. And yeah, I just imagine there's, even if you do have those assets, like, there's going to be times you just don't have the resources to play this card, and you're just like, I need to play this, but I can't, and that will feel frustrating.
Yeah, if you don't have a reason. And the ability to deal 4 damage in a single shot, consider Dynamite Blast instead. You save the XP, you don't have to take a test, and you get to feel like an action hero.
Yeah, and Dynamite Blast also deals damage to every enemy at the location, whereas this only hits one enemy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think outside of the synergy deck, probably the investigator who likes this is Nathaniel, simply because it's a fight event. He gets bonus damage off it, so he can pump this to a 4, but again, he's limited to Guardian cards only, so he would have to pick up a synergy card anyway just to get more damage out of it. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure whether I would pick this up or not. I guess if you're looking at a Guardian, say you're paying one for this, how much are the synergy cards? Three?
They are 3 experience points apiece.
So yeah, you know, you want say 2 copies of those, so there's 6 plus 1 of the 2 of these would be 8 for one shot events. Guardians can buy themselves a pretty nice weapon for 8 XP that will probably do more damage in the long run than trying to make this work. Yeah.
That being said, one of them, Prophetic, the Guardian Mystic Survivor one, that's one that Nathaniel can take and helps pay for gang up. So there you go. Only 8 XP.
Only 8 XP. So yeah, maybe there's something there. How would we rate this one?
That's kind of tough. This card doesn't appeal to me very much just because I'm not super into the whole synergy deck concept going on here, but I could see it being okay. I can also envision a dream scenario where somebody like plays Double or Nothing and then they deal like 10 damage with this card and that's nuts, which would be cool.
That's right. You can't Double or Nothing a Dynamite Blast.
True. So it has, you know, had some cool moments, I think, that players would want to experiment with, and I think for that alone I'd give it a 0.
I think much like with the situation with Geared Up, but this is much more simple than Geared Up. It's one of those blessed asterisks where it's like, if your deck is already set up for synergy, this is pretty good. If your deck is not set up for synergy and you're only going to deal 2 or 3 damage with this thing, don't bother. So bless token,
man. That's a tough choice here to go 0 or bless token. Is this a card that I probably have to build around, or is it something?
It's kind of weird because like the whole archetype is something you have to build around. So it's like, do you give like every synergy card a blessing? Just it's like,
to be honest, probably to be honest, because like they're. You have to have the synergy, you know, all the classes in place in order for them to be worth it, because that's how the designers decided to balance the cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're all either like decent or terrible, depending on the rest of your deck. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I have to decide here whether it's if you're playing a Guardian, like an off-class Guardian who has 2 classes, you'd be getting 3 combat and 3 damage. Is that enough for 3 resources?
Probably not. Especially with toe-to-toe that we just looked at.
Yeah, not with 3 damage. But if you hit 4, if you can hit 4, then I think the card's pretty good. Because there's not a lot of ways to deal 4 damage in a single action. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll join you, Matastrophic, and give this a blessed token. I feel like when I think about the decks that I've built in the past and would I pick this up, you know, if I wasn't playing with the synergy stuff, probably not. You're really trying to pump this as high as you can to get as much value out of it as you can. And so you're really aiming for 4 or 5 damage with this thing. And the only way you're going to do that consistently is if you purchase those triple class synergy talents or stuff like that. So yeah, I think I'll give this one a blessed token. That's going to do it for our look at the first batch of Guardian cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. Any final thoughts on these cards?
Man, these were hard to review. The first one and the last one. It's like, because they're so deck dependent.
Yeah, it seems like the designers, like, what's nice about doing the review in whole like this is that we can see the, you know, the direction of the design as a whole, where last time when we reviewed Innsmouth Man from Ling, it was kind of hard to evaluate some of the cards because it was like, well, you know, this card will be good if there's enough support for it, but we don't know until 6 months from now. Whereas, at least with these reviews, while it's initially, you know, there's a lot more cards to kind of digest and go through, we have the benefit of kind of seeing everything on a bird's eye view, which is nice. But yeah, these cards are definitely a lot more difficult to evaluate on especially like a first preliminary glance where most of us have probably only had maybe a couple of weeks to play with these cards. I know, Matt, you've had a little longer to play with them, but
oh yeah, yeah.
UK, yeah, I'm glad, baby. I'm glad cards like Geared Up exist, because it is a puzzle to solve, and I think it gives. I mean, there's a lot of depth there that players can sort through. So it's not a card that I think people are going to solve right away. And the other cards that we looked at, I mean, Toe to Toe is very good. Get Behind Me is pretty good in certain decks. Like you said, Nate, having all of the cards handy is very helpful, because I could certainly imagine us trying to, if this was under the old release model, us sitting down and trying to evaluate synergy without knowing that triple class synergy cards were coming down the road at some point. I mean, that would just be setting us up to look dumb down the road. It's just like, well, this whole synergy thing isn't going to work out. And then of course it's like in pack five, they drop the five synergy cards. It's like, okay, now ganged up isn't looking so bad. Whereas before it was just like, well, you're going to do two or three damage with this thing. So
yeah.
I am appreciative of the new release model, even though, man, dumping 100 and some odd cards on us at once is a lot to chew on.
Yeah, I come from playing a lot of Magic, so I'm kind of used to like 300 card sets being released and going through them and poring over them. So it's the end of the world for most card game players, I think.
Yeah, we manage. I definitely prefer this new release model. Oh, I could wax poetic about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about the... Yeah.
I will also say that these cards feel more, like, in line as far as, like, power level goes than some previous sets that we've seen. Like,
oh yeah,
like Dream Eaters and Circle Undone had some pretty ridiculous cards like, Mr. Rook and Pendant of the Queen and things like that. But these cards feel much more in line with, you know, the modern card pool, yeah.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, that's true. I also gotta say, I really like Geared Up, and I'm glad it exists. It's always fun to like have this card that's outside your deck that you take at deck creation and changes your deck building in some way. And it's pretty cool that this one Geared Up has an upside and a downside. So it's like, it gives you a nice fun puzzle all by itself. And that's nice when you have like, you know, 20 investigators, you can take it. You know, it's nice to add that nice little new angle on every investigator who can take Geared Up.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.